And, yep, he's looking right at me. Mm-hmm. Oh, here he comes. Would you look at that? Oh, hello.
Speak of the devil.
Hi, can I help you?
You can probably hear him, like, trot over.
Oh, okay.
Malcolm.
Hi.
What's up, guys?
That was so serious. Hi.
Hi. So,
how are y'all?
We need to talk.
We do this a lot. Oh. Who's getting divorced now?
Oh, no.
It's okay. We're all fine here.
How y'all doing?
Hopefully good.
Hopefully you're so good.
Yeah. The animals are out, but separate. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see how this goes, you know?
Luda kiss under the mint tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and Luda, if you don't know, me, Katie, I live with a person who has a cat. Mm-hmm. The cat's name is Ludacris, and she don't like me very much.
Ludacris.
We've been beefing as of this week. Mm-hmm. So we are not on speaking terms.
No.
Miss Lou over there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sleeping under our Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Malcolm is being a problem in my bedroom, as per usual, so.
But that's Malcolm, you know.
And he can hear me talking. He said, bitch.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. I see his little face. Mm-hmm. He said, what the fuck? He said, I'm in your bed right now.
He's nosy, too.
The only reason they're not both in here is because the cat and the dog, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
So.
Malcolm's big boy, Luda small girl.
Oh, my God.
Enough said.
Enough said, yeah.
Enough said.
Okay, so we'll see if this gets cut out. Cool. If not, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, now you know. Yeah, welcome
now,
to the smoking
Now bed. You know. Welcome to smoking
Now bed. You know, so.
Oh! I want to always start with the contact information.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the bottom.
Yeah.
We haven't said it in a while, I don't think, have
no.
we?
No, I don't think so.
Twitter is Smoking Gun Pod.
No, the no cast.
Instagram and TikTok are The Smoking Gun Podcast. Mm-hmm. And our email is thesmokinggunpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Perfect. And you can rate us and review us and all that fun stuff. And share us!
Mm-hmm.
Share us with your friends and your not friends if you don't like us. I guess.
Listen to this shitty podcast, huh? Yeah, we've grown a lot, actually, as a podcast. Last year for our Spotify Wrapped, we were in 5 people's number one. And then this year for our Spotify Wrap, we were in 80 people's top 10. We were in 12 people's top 5. And then we were like, I think, 10 people's top podcast.
That's pretty cool.
Which
and it
is
wasn't
fucking
mine.
Wild. I know, so. It wasn't just me or Katie anymore.
No. I know. I listen on Spotify. Y'all, I'm pretty sure it was in my top 5.
We have like top countries.
It's America.
It's the United States, Canada, and Britain. And then Portugal for some reason.
Hey!
So.
I don't know
how many people listen in Portugal, but
sorry
thank
if you.
You
can hear Malcolm in the background.
I know a lot more people are in Canada and the UK, and thank you too.
Yeah, you guys are cool. And even if you're not,
mm-hmm.
like if you're in like those less than 1%, you're still pretty cool too.
Finland, oh, yeah.
Italy, Switzerland, all that shit.
Imagine awesome. How special you are being like the only person
special.
In your country. Who listens to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, share it to your friends.
That's so sick. That's so sick, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, you guys are cool. I feel like we should...
Yeah.
Wait until he's done drinking.
Yeah, yeah. With Malcolm, you know, having to hydrate himself. Which, I guess, you know, hydration breaks,
I do
so.
Appreciate him, but also he likes to drink a shit ton of water at once, and every time I'm worried he's going to throw up.
Oh, yeah.
He never does. But knock on fucking wood. Don't actually, because he will start barking.
Yeah.
He is such a special boy. I love him.
He
but...
is. He's a great man, but he's
special. Oh,
he's
there he's going back for more.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's special Mac.
Go lay down. I did just get rid of his bed. Well, I didn't get rid of it. It's in my car. I got rid of it for him.
Go lay down the floor.
Here. You want to lay on my coat?
Go lay on the coat.
Please. You can lay on the coat.
You lay right there.
Lay right there.
He said, oh.
Goodbye, Mac. Okay.
Bye, Mac.
Without further ado,
all
let's
right.
get started.
So today, if you said that you were doing good, you're about to be doing bad. So this case kind of makes me sad because as I was telling Katie, like we said, we surprise each other, but I was kind of telling her, I was like, the reason why this case makes me sad is because, number one, it is about domestic violence. That's one of your trigger warnings today.
Fuck!
one.
Yeah, so that there's that. But number two, every time you look up her name, like, I could not find, like, a direct biography on her.
But if you look up his victim, name,
but if you look up his name, he's the first one that pops up. And everything about him, every headline is always, like, California man, Anaheim man does blank, you know, I'll tell you. So,
I wonder if I know.
But that's why it makes me sad, and that's why I don't speak about her a whole lot. What I do have on her is from her relatives, which is the most I could find from his trial and stuff. But without further ado, today we're going to be talking about Zazelle Preston.
I don't know who that is.
She is a... I'm surprised that this case is not talked about more because it's fucked up. It's fucked up. And I feel like we should be telling these types of stories.
100%.
Because first, I'm going to hit you with some really sad facts about domestic violence. So on average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner.
Wait. Pause. That's a lot. 20 people per minute?
Uh-huh.
That's...
During 1 year, this equates to more than 10 million men and women.
Per minute?
Per year.
Oh.
Per minute, it's still the 20.
Oh, okay.
And then on a typical day, there are more than 20,000 phone calls placed to domestic violence hotlines nationwide. 1 in 15 children are exposed to intimate partner violence each year, and 90% of these children's 90% of these children are eyewitnesses to this violence.
That breaks my fucking heart. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Rates of reported contact, sexual violence, physical violence, and or stalking in their lifetime, 41.1% of non-Hispanic black women and 41.1% of non-Hispanic black men to their white counterparts at 35.7 for white women and 30.1 for white men. So they are disproportionately affected.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, I mean, when you're talking like whole groups of people, I know those percentages don't sound that off, but that is like hundreds and thousands of people off in percentage wise.
Well, I mean, it's a big percentage.
That's almost half. That's almost half, dude.
Yeah.
That's that makes me sad. But I just thought I would preface that for this case a little bit because I think...
And if you, like, dissect that group even further, it's even more disproportionately.
Oh, yeah. Especially... And we're not even... We're getting into cisgender heterosexual relationships.
Right. That's what I was leading at. Like,
if you go down those specific routes for the LGBT community, for any other types
really
of groups...
Really, any other...
It's crazy.
...category you
exactly.
can...
Exactly. You can break... The fact that you can break it down so much is sad.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Happy Friday. We're recording this on a Friday.
Happy Friday.
God damn it.
So, now that I've given you those facts to keep in mind
Thanks,
during
Elena.
The case, now I'm going to tell you about the case. So, Zazelle Preston was a 26-year-old woman who was studying to be a domestic abuse counselor.
That's really sad.
Yeah. And you know what? The most disgusting headline I saw when I was reading these articles was she studied what she knew. And that is so fucking disrespectful.
Can we stop doing that?
Like, she, spoiler alert, she does pass away. But it's like, what the fuck is your problem? But anyway, I thought I would highlight that, you know, she was trying to help people. She
of
was
course,
going to
yeah.
school.
That's amazing.
She was getting
we need
her degree.
That.
And she was a lovely mother to her two daughters, and she met and married her husband, who is William Wallace. So their relationship was pretty rocky, and I guess there was, like, I guess there was a little bit of, like, maybe you could call it toxicity from both ends, but he was definitely the primary abuser in this relationship. And William had spent some time in jail previously for a domestic abuse related charge, but I couldn't get a straight answer on if that was towards Zazelle or not, or if it was towards another woman. But bottom line, he leaves prison and he is, you know, with Zazelle. But he does have a history of abuse towards Zazelle. So relatives said that William was controlling and violent, and that there were previous instances where William had threatened to kill or severely injure Zazelle on several different occasions. Zazelle's grandmother said that she once found her in the fetal position in a street after one alleged beating at the hands of William, and on a separate occasion where Zazelle had called her on a cell phone She was calling her for help from a convenience store bathroom, that she was trying to, like, flee from William. So even after all these things, Zazelle did become pregnant by William, and they had a son.
Wait, I'm sorry. So that she has the two daughters and then this?
She has the two daughters from a previous relationship.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So now they're having a son together.
And yes. And then the baby that she has now is his. So now I'm going to take you to what happened. So we're going to be in Anaheim, California on Christmas Eve of 2011.
What the fuck?
So William and Zazelle are returning home from a neighbor's Christmas party with their children. And Zazelle and William had both been drinking. And somehow they got into a heated argument.
On Christmas Eve?
In toxic families, holidays are very stressful.
See, I was gonna say.
So.
I mean, I was always fighting on Christmas Eve, no judgment, I guess.
There's a lot of tension. I mean, like, I feel like the holidays are a lot for everybody, whether your family is good 100%, or not.
Yeah, it's a lot of time.
It's so much. There's just so much pressure.
And then you add that toxicity into it.
And then you add alcohol. The abuse. Oh my God. Oh my God. There's so many things happening in this apartment on this night.
Just alone, as it is.
Period.
And then it's Christmas Eve.
Right. So Zazelle and William shared the apartment with their newborn son and then her two daughters. One daughter was 3 and then one daughter was 8. At the time of this instance, obviously they're minors, since we'll get into it, but it's been so long that now one of their names has been released because for his trial, she was old enough, but I'm not going to say them because I don't want them to be connected. They were so young. During some time between the 24th, after they had gotten home, and the 25th, reportedly in a drunken rage, William attacked Zazelle, and somehow Zazelle was able to leave, but William dragged her back in. Now, I'm not sure if that meant that she left the apartment or the room that they were fighting in, but for some reason, he dragged her back to a certain spot in the apartment. So, after a bit of a struggle, William did end up killing Zazelle. And then, it's gonna be really fucked up from here on out. On Christmas morning, the children woke up to their mother's body propped up on the couch with a pair of sunglasses on. And William...
Elena, wait. No. You need to let me sit with that for a second.
I told you it's gonna be fucked up.
No. Yeah? But you did not prepare me. Me alone for that.
That's not even the worst part.
Oh my God, I'm gonna lose my fucking mind. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so that piece of information, correct? William told her two daughters, "Mommy ruined Christmas. She got drunk and ruined Christmas, and then proceeded to make them open their Christmas gifts around their mother's body."
Oh my God! Mm-hmm. Even Malcolm was silent. Holy shit!
No, I know that's fucked up. So we can take a deep breath.
No, that's
horrific.
I don't even have any words to say.
That's horrifying.
I can say that if somebody, I'm not gonna say who. I'm not going to condone this, but somebody should teach him a lesson. Maybe, allegedly. Don't come for me. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. Haha.
He is in jail, so.
Not the kind of lesson I'm talking about, bitch.
You can tell the jail people to do something.
Again, I'm not going to say anything.
No, we're not advocating for violence against anybody.
100%, no, that's not something you should do.
But we are saying if you have a stressful day, maybe take it out on him or something.
Yeah, maybe instead of the innocent victim.
Yeah, here. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those poor babies.
Yeah. And it hurts because my younger sister is 8 years old. So, like, oh, she... God. They are at an age, the three-year-old I do feel bad for as well, but she is very young. Yeah. She is going to have trauma. I'm sure she does have trauma from it, but very young. She might not remember as much, but 8 years old, I mean, your memories are forming. I have memories from when I was eight. So it's like, you're more aware and you're more like present in the understanding. It is. So I don't know. I feel like that was just the most fucked up thing he could have done in that instant. Not only did you just kill their mother.
That you can make it more fucked up. You're trying. There are ways.
Ooh.
But there's not many ways.
I haven't even told you all the details yet.
That was enough. Thanks. It's been great.
Done. It's been fun. You could end the podcast here.
Let's go.
We'd be okay.
God.
So that is what's happening in their house on Christmas morning. And William told one of Zazelle's relatives, it was reported that it was her grandmother, but it could have also been her mother. But either way, it was someone close to Zazelle that we were drinking, and during the argument, I tossed her around a bit.
I'm sorry. I thought, strike it from the record. Oh. Strike it from the record. Beep.
Redacted.
Just restart that.
Restart. Okay.
I misunderstood.
So then William would call. William knew that she had passed. All right, let me make that clear. So William would call 911 around 9:30 that morning and innocently say that his wife needed medical attention.
Okay.
So paramedics roll up and they're like, all right, where is she? And then shortly after they go into the room, they call the police and he's being arrested. They're like, no, she is past medical attention. Like, this is a crime. So they're getting the police. When the police get there, her body is still in the same position.
On the couch?
Yep. Sunglasses and all. And there is blood all over the apartment.
I am fucking nauseous. All of the little chuckles horrifying. I'm making are purely out of discomfort.
Oh, yeah. This is not a laughing case.
No. Absolutely no disrespect. I just have no other way of coping.
Uh-huh.
And if you are just joining us here, this is your first episode.
I'm so sorry.
This is just how I am. So
during this time, with the cops being there and stuff, he also claimed that he was defending himself from Zazelle and that she was the one who attacked him and bit him. So he was trying to say that they were both fighting each other and that she was the aggressor.
I'm still trying to figure out where does biting equate to murder?
Exactly.
You know?
As most pieces of shit do, Chris Watts did the same thing.
Oh, motherfucker.
They try to blame people who cannot speak for themselves.
Of course, that's their thing.
It's horrible, it's disgusting. Even if, in the remote possibility that is what happened, why the fuck would you then kill her?
Like, as someone that has been bit quite frequently... If you don't know, I work with children. Children bite.
Mm-hmm.
I have been bit on more...
Especially your kids.
I'm not going to get into it, and it's none of y'all's business, no. But I get bit quite a bit, okay?
Too much.
I get bit too frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Never once have I thought,
Murder.
Murder. Granted, it's children. It is. So it's different.
Yeah, it is, but still.
But not really, because it's still biting.
It's still a human.
And biting does not equate murder. That's not an... Ever. Not something.
Ever.
That's not a line I can connect here. And I'm stuck on this, clearly.
Oh, yeah. So...
Like, that's your defense. That's what you're going with.
Yeah. That's what it was. She bit me, so I had to...
Judge, did you not hear what I just said?
Right.
She bit me.
She bit me. That makes sense. I was defending myself.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I am a physically larger man.
I'm a man, period.
And she bit me, and I'm, I had to do what I had to do. That is fucking disgusting. Like, what is your problem? Anyway.
Again, I say.
So, Zazelle, at this point, was a few weeks away from graduating. So that is a very sad fact.
Sad.
But William would then be arrested for murdering her that morning. And then he would stay in jail for 9 years until his trial in March of 2021.
What?
He was in jail for 9 fucking years.
Are you going to get into that?
A little bit. Okay. A little bit. Yeah. There's a little bit more information on this it. Yeah.
That is not a speedy trial. Isn't that one of the... What is it called? The
amendments?
Yeah. Couldn't remember the word.
I think. I don't know.
A right to a speedy trial? That is not a speedy trial.
That is an amendment.
I'm not here to defend it, but...
Well, if you're a part of the government, you let us know what the speedy trial definition is. How speedy does it have to be?
I would imagine it's got to be less than 9 years.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, anyway.
Rotten jail. You know,
stay there. Think about what you did. So then during this trial, William would claim in court that Zizelle died from a fall where she hit her head. And then his attorney, Heather Moorhead, would testify that Zizelle died from drunkenly tripping and falling onto a glass table and then shattering it. She also stated during the trial that William did not intend to kill Zizelle or that he was responsible for the fatal injuries that Zizelle sustained during their drunken argument. So, like I said earlier, Zizelle's daughter is now 18 for this trial, so she is able to testify. And she would state that her mother's body was cold on that Christmas morning. Ooh. She would also say that, and she has memories, like I said earlier, she's 8, right. Like she has these memories.
Unfortunately, she has memories.
And she would also say that during the argument, it turned physical when William pushed her mother into a glass table.
Oh my God.
She also helped William pull pieces of glass from Zizelle's body and then testified that William carried Zizelle into the bathroom to, quote-unquote, clean her up, dropping her and knocking her head on the side of the toilet seat along the way. So, her cause of death is up for debate, whether she died from falling, whether that was William's fault or not, whether she died from the table, anything like that.
Nah. I think it's his fault regardless. Whether she fell or not, they wouldn't have been in a situation had they not been in that argument.
Right. It was kind of like, even if she did happen to trip and he did not make her trip, it was heated. It was a heat of the moment type of thing.
Maybe don't abuse people.
That probably should have been avoided.
And I'll feel bad for you.
I will feel bad for you.
Like, what the fuck? Stop being a dick.
Mm-hmm. So William was convicted in April of 2021 of second degree murder and was sentenced 15 years to life with credit for the 9 years that he had already served. So there was a debate on the charges that he should receive because there was a debate on how she'd passed away.
Okay.
So in the state of California, the charge of second degree murder is defined as, quote unquote, the unlawful killing of another human being. The unlawful killing of another human being that is done without deliberation and premeditation, but with malice aforethought or with the intent to commit an act. Per the Penal Code 18.9 PC, California law also defines the offense as any taking of a human life that is not categorized as first-degree murder. So at the sentencing hearing, so he was convicted, and that was one thing, and then now we're at his sentencing hearing. Zizelle's mother, who's Sydell Preston, said, "He beat and tortured my daughter and at the same time mentally assassinated her children." I just thought that was a great way to put it. Like, it's true. The assault did not stop at her. He did that to her kids. He did not have to do that to her kids.
No, he took 3 lives.
Yeah.
Well,
four. He did. And the baby was 7 months. Not 7 months, 7 weeks.
The baby has no parents.
The baby was 7 weeks old. So, and then she also said, "He showed her no mercy. Let's show him no mercy."
Yep, queen.
Which I love that she said that, because as much as I do love the families of victims who are like, you know what, he did that to my person, my daughter, my friend, but I don't want to do that to him. She said, no, fuck that guy.
You know,
he deserves to rot, and he does.
Yes, I feel like I typically will try to like side with what they feel, because, like, that's not my place. That's not our place. That's not anyone's place to be like, oh, that's wrong, that's right.
That's how you should feel.
You should feel however you feel in that situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, I'm happy you feel that way, because I'm not forgiving his ass.
Never.
No,
never.
Some podcast I listen to says never end in forgiveness, and I stand by that.
Never, never. So Sydell, her mother, then became the guardian of her three children. And she also said, William Wallace robbed us of her knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Zizelle was an amazing, talented woman until he came along and took her from us forever. Which I think is true. I mean, she was weeks away from graduating, and he knew that. He knew all these things. Like, this is not...
With three kids.
With three... One of them is yours. She just gave birth to your son a month and a half ago. Ugh. Anyway. So I will leave you guys with this. The Orange County District Attorney, Todd Spitzer, said, a young mother finally losing her life after years of violence at the hand of her husband is a heart-wrenching tragedy. That heartbreak is only exacerbated by the fact that her children witnessed much of the violence and were forced to celebrate Christmas in the presence of their dead mother. That is not a Christmas memory any child should be forced to have. We all have an obligation to speak up against violence of any kind, especially domestic violence, where the victims are so fiercely controlled by their abusers. The cycle of domestic violence is a vicious one, and I want every victim of domestic violence to know that they are not alone. No one should have to live in fear of violence in their own home.
It's true.
Yeah. And that's, like I said, every time you look it up, all the headlines are, California man who propped up his dead wife got served how many years in prison?
No, this episode is in her name and yes, for her.
And it should, and that's why I started with her.
This is her story.
And it's like, it is the story of Zizelle. It is not the story of William going to jail.
No, like, and I don't give a fuck where he was from, how he was raised. And typically I do. Mm-hmm. We all know, I'm a psychology person. Mm-hmm. Not his. I don't give a fuck.
No.
I know exactly what I need to know.
Exactly. And his, I mean, I don't know his whole track record, but obviously if you were in prison for a violent crime before, you have some sort of violent tendencies. Like,
you know, part of me likes covering these, like, cut and dry cases where it's like, there's no question. Because now I'm just like, oh, cool, so I can hate this guy and no one can get mad at me about it. And if you do get mad at me about it, that is a whole separate issue.
Mm-hmm. But he is not allowed on the podcast. He is not allowed to listen. Oof. An asshole. Asshole. To the highest degree.
And a murderer!
And a murderer!
Oh my god, on Christmas Eve.
No, dude. Waking up on Christmas...
Elena, I can't do this right now.
No, we gotta
go.
That
shit, the first time you said that, it brought tears to my eyes. I can't do it.
No.
So, if you're over the age of 21...
You can join us for this next part. If not, sorry that I had to leave you like that.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry that you had to listen to that, but I think as uncomfortable as it makes us, it's important to tell.
Oh my god, okay, I'm gonna do a little live bleaching for you guys.
Perfect.
I'm gonna tell you a story.
Perfect.
About one of the kids that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, mm-hmm. The one that bites me. But no, just kidding. Well, I'm not kidding.
Mm.
But he didn't bite me this time.
Yeah.
No, he goes, so I'm a little bit congested, if you can't hear. Mm-hmm. I was sneezing, I texted Elena. I sneezed probably 200 fucking times yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I almost shoved an ice pick in my eyeball. I was done. I hate sneezing. I don't mind sneezing when it's necessary.
Yeah.
But if I'm not even exaggerating, 200 times.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I was sneezing. Did my thing, sneezed, mm-hmm. coughed. I don't know what I did. And he just goes, Katie, cover. And I'm like, excuse me? He's like watching a video on the iPad, and then he's just like, cover. Katie, cover. What the fuck? And I'm like, you know what? You're not wrong. I did teach you that.
Yeah.
But still.
Cover.
And then he said at a later point, another sneeze. Bless you, Katie. Just like that. Sir. Excuse me.
He too sassy.
Oh, boy.
He too sassy.
He said, I don't know what is it with kids these days, but they're sassy as fuck.
He's sass master.
All of them. He's sassy.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else is sassy?
Hmm.
Malcolm.
Malcolm.
Oh my! Bless you, Katie.
Bless.
Cover. Oh my god, it was ridiculous. Anyway, so that's, I guess, your brain bleach.
That's your live bleach.
Yeah, and if you are under the age of 21, or in a state where it is illegal to smoke weed, you can leave with that.
Yeah.
If you are on the other end, join us.
Yeah. Come on. Come hang
out.
Love
to see you there.
We have a lot of, at least I have a lot of psychological things to talk about. So.
Yay! I just have a lot of feelings.
Yeah, so.
Welcome to the Smoking Gun Podcast!
Welcome! All right. We'll catch you.
Hi.
What's going on, gang? I just told Katie another fucked up detail, and she's re-pissed all over again.
I am. Yeah. I sure as fuck am. Anyway.
This is just a bad one. Well, I guess we'll start with, you said you had lots of feelings, if you'd like to unpack any of those.
I'm sad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very, very
sad.
That's
a big feeling. If you listen to this and you're not sad,
there's something wrong. That's an issue.
Yeah, no, this is a very sad case. Very tragic.
What really, really gets me is the daughters. Because, I mean, we mentioned it earlier, like, I grew up in a toxic household. Not like this, but holidays are already, and like, when you're 8, you feel that tension. You don't know what's wrong, but you know something's wrong. But you also don't. You just assume that that's what everyone feels like. But
this,
you know,
just
it's
Christmas
off.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's off. So it's like, I already know those feelings. And then you add in what she experienced, the older one. I'm referencing the older one. Because she saw it.
Mm-hmm. And this was not the first instance, I'm
no,
assuming.
No, and
there
that
was
makes
history,
it even worse.
Like, it's horrible. It's...
I said it earlier, I was like, unfortunately she has memories. And I mean that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad she has memories of her mother. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're good memories. Mm-hmm. But I almost wish she didn't. Not of her mother, but of all of that. Of what happened to her.
Yeah.
Of all the fighting that she definitely witnessed. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And like, and you said she was 8? The oldest
yes,
one? The
yes.
older one?
At the time it happened, she was 8 years old. Yeah.
You know, that's, she remembers it.
And it's one thing to see your parents fight. Like, if your
yeah.
parents are...
I meant, like, physical
fight. Right. If your parents are together, or even if they're not together and they were together at one point, you've seen them fight.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe you've even seen a bad fight. There's a whole lot of yelling, someone leaves or something. But never once have I witnessed, like, my parents getting physical with each other. That has to
Me
be
either.
A whole separate trauma.
Oh, 100%.
And I know that I'm fortunate in that fact,
right,
because
yeah.
the statistics are saying... that so many people witness this. And so many children
witness
this.
That breaks my heart on a whole other level. Because what you said, 1 in 15 or something like that?
1 in 15 children have seen
it. That makes
it.
Me think of, like, your average class size is, what, 20, 30 kids?
Mm-hmm.
That's...
at least 1 or 2.
1 to 2.
Per
three,
classroom.
3 or 4 if you're in a different neighborhood. Or, like, a more populated... like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
You... children should not see that.
No.
In any way. At any age, really, but... oh, my God.
And there's so much research done on the effects of just witnessing abuse.
So much research
Not
done.
Even being
And so much research
abused
that's
yourself.
Going to be done.
And unfortunately, also in these households, it's not like these kids are just watching this happen. Sometimes they are subject to it as well.
And sometimes they're put into the position.
Mm-hmm.
Kids that grow up in those toxic environments, and again, I don't know what that's like,
nope.
the physical aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to, like, speak out of place, but I would imagine she was put in the middle of them. Like,
yeah. Well, she probably also felt that way,
he
too.
He said, your mother ruined Christmas.
Yep.
That alone is traumatizing.
Yeah.
For a child to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you said this, there wasn't her, the girl's dad, but still.
Right.
You don't. That fucks up kids on its own.
And also, like you said, he wasn't her dad, but when your parents are in relationships at those ages, the people who they're seeing are normally going to take on that caretaking position.
Well, they live together.
Exactly. So, like, she's going to see him
that
figure.
That's her little brother's dad.
Which is a whole other separate thing. Like, I don't know the relationship she had with her father. I didn't find that anywhere. But... Now I'm seeing this person as my dad, and that person also murdered my mother.
And before the murder, that person abuses my mother.
Exactly. That is so heartbreaking. That's so heart-wrenching.
And when you're 8,
you don't
think
that
way. She was old enough, but she was old enough to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Something.
Something was wrong. Like,
yeah. She probably couldn't put it into words, but
mm-hmm.
you know that that's not normal.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. That's the way to describe it.
You know it's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she sounds like a fantastic mother, so I'm sure she just tried her best to reassure them that
mm-hmm.
everything was fine.
Yeah.
Because what the fuck else are you going to do in that situation?
Yeah. I'm not sure if her Facebook is still up. but her Facebook was up for a long time. And in her posts, like, she talks about that she loves them, like, her kids, and how she's happy to see her husband. And, like, I think there's a post from July 30th of them, like, out together, and she's pregnant, and they're, like, she's like, I love him so much. And there's so many pictures of them together where it's, like, lovebirds for life. So it's, like, it wasn't the best. Oh, sorry.
I just dropped everything.
It wasn't the best home life. There's a history of that, but there was good points.
There always is. There's always good and bad.
And that's even worse for the kids, too, because it's like, okay, well, they're out, they're having fun, they're great, but then something might happen at night and everything goes bad. Like, so many things have happened to these children.
That grow up in that environment learn to constantly be on eggshells. Mm-hmm. If we speak, I have looked into this a lot just because I find it incredibly interesting. Fun fact, I plan on getting a doctorate mm-hmm. after my undergrad, and I was thinking, like, dissertation topics. Mm-hmm. I think an incredibly interesting and important issue, I guess, you could talk about is ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences. There's a truck driving by my apartment. The wind is open.
The sound Let's waves. See.
Bye. These adverse childhood experiences drastically increase the child's risk for mental issues, as it is, but physical issues. Mm-hmm. These children, when you are constantly activating your fight or flight, your cortisol's off, your nervous system's off. Nothing's going to be normal, and that is lifelong.
You can fuck up your whole nervous system.
Everything. You can fuck up everything, and that's not even going into what I would be interested in doing, which would be, like, the children that experience that then turning into these violent criminal offenders, because we see that, too. Mm-hmm. Why can't people just be nice? Like, what the fuck?
And unfortunately, a lot of people who witness abuse, even if they aren't abused themselves, Katie's right, they end up not always committing violent crimes.
No, not always. That's not what I'm saying.
But there's an increased risk of depression, there's an increased risk of suicide, there's an increased risk of anxiety.
Cardiovascular issues!
Of interpersonal tummy issues. Like, they might have a hard time connecting to people, period. Forever.
They might have a hard time connecting with themselves. Mm-hmm. Because that shit becomes normalized, and that's not normal. Mm-mm. We need to stop normalizing domestic violence. It's not fucking normal. Mm-hmm. That's not okay.
But that comes with people...
Beep. Maybe we should close the window.
People holding other people accountable.
Oh my god, here it is. Here's the soapbox.
You are... If you are a bystander in this situation, you are just as much of a perpetrator. Like... There's so many statistics on why women don't leave their abusers. There's so much psychology.
I don't want to hear any of that shit, by the way.
Exactly. Like,
don't fucking start. Well, why did she leave? Shut the fuck up.
On average, for an abusive type of relationship, no matter the kind, but anything you'd consider abusive, it takes, I think it's like 6 or 7 times.
I think it's like 7.
Before someone will finally leave that situation. And it's so incredibly hard to leave. Because,
it's
like I said, there are good points. There were good points with him, which is why she stayed. She was a smart woman. She was an educated woman. She was going to school for this, which is horrifying. But she
knows what she's doing.
And she still fell victim to this. So it's like, it's not just on women leaving abusive men. It's on, if you know that a man is abusive, you step into that situation.
We also know that men can be abused as well.
Oh, yes.
And there's abuse that goes both ways, always.
Mm-hmm. Anyone can be abused.
In any way you want, any way you slice it. Your cheese is falling off your cracker. No. That was a callback to the Chris Watts episode.
Oh,
you guys should go listen.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but, like, for real, anyone can be abused. So we're not saying that, but statistically speaking, men typically abuse women. Mm-hmm.
Disproportionately.
Yes. Like, that's a better word. That's a better word. But it's like, I don't even remember what you were getting at. I wanted to make that clear because apparently, according to our Spotify Wrapped, we are, was it 51% male listeners?
54.
Hey, boy. Should we start saying boys instead of girlies?
Hey, boys.
How are you?
How y'all doing?
Yeah, so you can be abused too. Uh-huh. Everyone needs to protect everyone.
Yeah, my boyfriend's in that statistic, so.
Hi.
Hey.
No, we like you. You're fine.
Anyway.
But you can't see the face.
Anyway, you're a part of the boys.
You're the boy. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. it's keeping other people accountable for other people. Like, the only reason that you physically exist, this is another soapbox moment. This was actually a high thought I had the other day.
Ooh.
The only reason why I, like, exist in society as myself is because there are other people who vouch for me. Other than a birth certificate, like, I don't exist anywhere. I could just disappear, and unless the people at my job or my family or something noticed, no one,
I don't,
you know,
like that
saying?
High thought.
So, but what I'm saying is that you need to be checking on your friends.
Yes.
And obviously this was going on for a long, long time. Most of her relatives knew, and I'm sure that they were trying to help her out.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
They very much loved and cared for her. So, like, you just gotta support people, and you gotta keep those people, you gotta put them in fucking check. He should have not gotten out of prison.
No.
If he had a violent offense before, you should have not left the prison.
But we also should talk about that because the prison systems are designed to fail people.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that he wasn't kept in prison, but also I don't think prison is necessarily the right place. Well, I don't know what I'm trying to say about that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to say that the prison system needs to be reevaluated.
Oh, yes.
Because he's not going to learn anything. What he probably needs, and I don't give a fuck about him. But he probably needs a reevaluation as well.
Yes.
So it's like,
we haven't even gotten into his psychology yet.
I'm not ready for that.
No,
yet.
We can't do that yet.
I'm currently talking about the psychology of the prison system.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's like the system is not set up to rehabilitate people.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's a separate issue, but he should not have been out.
Oh yeah.
And he should not have been out the same person he was.
Oh yeah. Not at all.
And that is, I mean, clearly we see a pattern of his behavior.
Obviously.
And an escalation, because it almost always ends in escalation.
I'm not sure for how long he was out of prison. Obviously, it was longer than 9 months, because Giselle did have a full-term pregnancy.
Oh.
But, still, I mean...
Look at you, math.
He... math. Mental math for a second.
I was just going with it. So, I'm like, okay.
But, yeah, I mean... Obviously, what I'm trying to say by that is that if the two instances were that close, that he got out, and in probably around year two, maybe another thing happened.
It's
like, come on! Obviously, that was not rehabilitation.
Also, can we check in on him?
Yeah,
what's going on there? Can probation not be like
not
6 months
parole or something? Like.
Also, I don't know how it actually is, so don't. If I'm wrong, don't.
Yeah,
come
neither
to me.
Do I.
We're just saying.
She's a psych major, not a lawyer. So,
fun fact: I was gonna minor in law for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Really?
The school I'm at now doesn't offer that as well. This was the first college I went to. I'm currently in college 3.
This is the third one.
Yeah, not even kidding there. But it's okay. You live and you learn.
Yeah.
Some people live and learn. This man clearly didn't.
No, he did not.
No, but it's fucking. All of this is infuriating for so many different reasons. And I do also think it's important to say, like, I'm sure you mentioned it earlier. I'm sure her family and friends were fighting for her to the best of their ability.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not victim blaming at all. I don't.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not. That is not what is happening. But to a certain degree, people leaving the relationship need to want to leave the relationship.
That is true.
And I can say this. Not in a situation nearly as bad, but someone I love very, very much was in an abusive relationship. A manipulatory, if that's a word, a psychologically abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
She knew it. Everyone knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on longer than it should have, but that's because she wasn't ready for it to end.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like there is a part of that as well that goes into the other person. Again, not victim blaming at all.
No.
But... these manipulators and abusers know that too. Mm-hmm. So that's why he's love bombing. That's why he's coming back. That's why it's mm-hmm. a cycle. Mm-hmm. Because he knows it and he's in control of it.
Exactly.
And she is made to feel that as well.
Yeah.
Or whoever is in the situation. Mm-hmm. But.
Well, kind of going with that, one of the prosecutors during his trial said that he did what he had always done.
Yep.
Expecting her to survive. He did not. They're like, we're not saying that he premeditated mm-hmm. killing his wife.
You said he got second degree.
But in that second degree definition, it's with malice aforethought, mm-hmm. which basically means, like, and not that you directly tried to murder her or planned it out, but you also took a lot of actions that were to the contrary of
keeping
her safe.
At the very least, so, you knew you were going to harm her.
Yes. There was some intent to your actions, whether that intent was in the moment or before. It was there.
You didn't, if she hypothetically was pushed into a glass table, she didn't not get pushed into the, you know,
right,
like he still pushed her.
He still made
regardless of the, right.
Yes.
We make a lot of decisions every single day.
So, and even after all of that, even if it was an accident and she fell and blah, 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 he did not get her any medical attention,
nope.
which is why her cause of death is up for debate, because
right.
then she did hit her head on a toilet. A toilet is hard. That could have also killed her.
Yeah.
He could have had time to save her and then neglected that
and
made other decisions.
Her motherfucking body.
You could have called
yesterday.
Exactly. And I'm not sure if he has ever come out and said, he didn't speak at his sentencing.
Ever.
But I'm not sure. I don't want to hear it.
Take his tongue.
I haven't, you know what? Let me pull up pictures right now.
Oh, I don't want to see him. His name is, never mind.
You gotta see him.
I have nothing against
you have
Williams.
To at least
I actually
Giselle.
Like
she's
the name
a,
William.
She's a beautiful, she's
but
a beautiful
William,
woman.
Of course your name's William. That was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking with everybody. I have no beef with any names ever. What are you talking about?
I'm gonna show you Giselle first, because I think she's very sweet.
Everyone sucks.
This was to their trip to Disney. That's what her baby.
Oh my goodness!
That's what her baby.
She's beautiful.
She is. She's a very sweet woman.
She's got a beautiful smile.
And then this is her with William while she's pregnant. That's William.
You know what, man? Shave the goatees. Okay.
His mugshot is the best picture. That's the mugshot from Christmas Eve of 2011.
He looks
from Christmas
fucked
Day.
Up, and that goatee is not doing shit.
No.
He looks ugly.
We'll post
I'm
pictures on that Instagram.
Because you're also a murderer, okay? Shave the fucking goatee,
that
everybody.
That was the picture they used at her funeral.
That's a beautiful picture of her.
She was a beautiful woman.
Look at the blending.
I know, she got a little piercing right here, too. Okay, Giselle.
Okay. Mm. No, fuck you, William.
Exactly. Like, she, just think about if that night had not happened, she would be a counselor by now. She could have 100%. Helped people.
100%.
She,
even her, if he left.
She would have seen her daughters grow up.
Yeah.
She would have seen her baby grow up. He was 7 weeks.
It's horrible.
Fuck him for taking that.
For real. Fuck him.
Fuck him. He's so, and just Ooh. Mentally, just mentally. Like, you, okay, yeah, you can be an asshole, you can murder people, but then, like her mom said, he mentally
assassinated
those children.
Assassinated!
All three of them.
That is such a word that she chose, and it was a good one,
mm-hmm.
because I know exactly what she means, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. That it just, in that instance, waking up on Christmas and they're never going to have a normal Christmas.
They are never going to have a normal life.
They're never going to have
Ever.
A normal day. They're never going to have a normal Christmas. They're never going to be able to celebrate that.
Another truck.
Like, ooh. Ooh.
No, they lost their mother and then they all lost a father figure or their legitimate father.
Yeah.
Because of a choice he made.
Mm-hmm. It's so horrific. He could.
And his goatee is ugly.
He read it on himself. He could have just read it on himself a couple hours before. But no. For whatever reason, he had to give them that horrible memory.
That has to speak volumes. Because he could have called, right?
Uh-huh.
He could have called when they were sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he made it a point to ruin every single Christmas
they have for the rest of their life mm-hmm. by telling them that their mother, who they then find out is dead from him, ruined Christmas. Mm-hmm. Shut the fuck up.
Christmas would have been ruined even if he had called before.
Christmas he was just ruined had with to the fighting drive anyways.
It home. The fight.
The fighting alone ruined Christmas.
Just the fact that they were, because also I'm, you know, not saying anything, but obviously if he's attacking her, it seems like he was instigating it. So you could have just calmed the fuck down and left.
You know what we need to discuss? We need to discuss people emotionally regulating themselves, okay?
Oh, yep.
Please go stand in a corner. Mm-hmm. Go take a few deep breaths.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Count to 10. These are all things I'm teaching children on a daily basis.
Do something.
They can do it. You can do it. You dumb bitch.
They can do it. You can do it.
Do better.
Don't be sorry. Just do better.
Don't be sorry. Be quiet. Cover.
Cover.
Oh my God. He's... Now I'm mad. Now I'm fucking angry. Thanks, Elena.
Sorry. But
talk about high blood pressure.
It should make people angry, and it should. I agree with the district attorney. No one should feel that way in their house. Mm-hmm. Your house should be your safe. My house is my safe space. Your house should always be your safe space. That's what it's supposed to be. And it is. It's the numbers when I only gave you guys a couple statistics. When you really look at these fucking domestic violence statistics, it is gut wrenching. It makes you want to vomit. Like, it is so bad, the numbers that not only women, men, children, members of different communities, that's Hispanic, white, Asian, LGBT, the domestic violence in the LGBT community alone is very hot debate. But it's never spoken about enough, and it's never talked about, and no one wants to talk about these things.
Because it's uncomfortable.
Because it sucks.
It's gotta be more uncomfortable than people experiencing it.
Do you think they fucking feel?
For real. And they're, to a lot of people...
If it's uncomfortable for you to hear, imagine being there.
That's why we talk about these details of these crimes. Like, I think it was the West Memphis 3. Like, they had to go through it so we can fucking listen.
Yeah. Like...
I did just Google the domestic violence hotline for the United States, and I want to read that number, and I think we should put it in the
description
as well. UK, Canada, I'm sorry, I don't know your numbers.
I'll get those.
There should be, like, a global number.
There should.
That would be overwhelming. I feel like that would be... It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. Anyway, so the United States domestic violence hotline number is... 800-799-7233. It will also be in our description. I believe it says you can text it. Please, if you need help, please seek it. It will be the most challenging, one of the more challenging decisions I can imagine you'd have to make, but there are people who want to help you. Mm-hmm. And you are deserving of that help. Always. Unless you're William.
You so I can't suffer. Find, like, a national Canadian number, but if you are between the ages of 5 and 29 and you would like to speak to a trained responder, you can call Kids Help Phone at 1-800-668-6868. Or you can text CONNECT to 686868. That is for our Canadian listeners.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure... If you have access to the internet, you can Google. And did your Google do this? It asked if you were okay?
Uh-huh.
Mine did too. You know what? Thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google.
That's a good question.
Honestly, I was on a domestic violence hotline website, like looking at the statistics and stuff. And at the bottom, it had an orange button that said emergency exit. And I clicked on it and it changed my page to Google. So it was like, in case you're in a house where you cannot be looking at this information freely, they have those things on those types of websites, and I thought that was great. That was awesome.
It's unfortunate that domestic violence is so common that these things need to be a thing, but I'm really glad that they are. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that, like, I live in a big city, and I go into the Starbucks here, or coffee shops, like local coffee shops, local stores, a lot of them I've seen, like, especially in women's bathrooms. I don't know what it's like everywhere else, or whatever, but they have like, are they at, they have these, like, flyers that are, like, are you okay?
In English and Spanish.
In English and Spanish, mm-hmm. Yep. If not more languages, I don't know. I only read wherever, the English.
In Canada, it's probably English I'm and French. Sure.
I speak English.
Yeah, so that's me.
That's just me. I don't know why y'all. But they have the numbers. They have these have these resources available mm-hmm. for people, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
In a very shitty situation.
Yeah.
Because that sucks, and people need to just stop being mean. Yep. I said it already. Just stop it. Be a hater if you want. But don't be mean, you know?
Yep. I just got real sad for a second. I don't know why. Like, just sadness is, like, just the fact that someone's going to have to, like, I hope none of our listeners, but in case one of our listeners was just like, I'm going to call that number.
I hope you do.
I hope you do. And I hope you get help. And I'm
and
so sad.
And we love
sad.
You.
Well, I'm happy that we could provide that information for you, but I'm so sad that it took something like this for you to be like,
you know what? Because this can't happen to anybody.
Oh, yeah. And it happens to a lot of different people that you would probably not think that it happens yeah. to. Like, from their relationship on the outside, especially on Facebook, I would not think that it was that bad.
No. And there's always many different sides to many different people.
Of course. And it's, obviously, Facebook is what they wanted to post. They're only going to post the best moments and stuff. But still, like, I mean, the statistics are there. And
they're there for a reason.
Exactly. And it's so sad that we have so many.
Yeah, well, catch us next week for another real bummer.
Yeah. Next week it's Katie.
And it's a fucking bummer.
And it's another one.
So, yeah.
Well, anyway.
But hey, you know what? I feel like I'm always traumatizing our listeners. Mm-hmm. You did it this time. Thank you.
I did.
Thanks for taking one for the team.
Never heard of this case, which I never did. I'm so sorry.
I never heard of that case. Elena sent me a TikTok the other day. Oh. Different, but similar vibes of me literally having an open mouth on the floor. Because we're never covering that. I can't.
No.
I cannot.
No. I physically can't even say it without
no. So
making me sad.
Go on TikTok, I guess.
Go on TikTok and just look up, like, hashtag true crime, and you'll find something similar. TikTok has a lot of stuff like that, so.
Yeah, because the world's fucked up.
Yeah.
So, love you. Say it back.
Love you. Say it back.
Everyone be nice. Drink your water.
Drink your water.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
God damn it. Goodbye.
Yeah, I guess that's
it. Goodbye.
We covered the bases.